Liberty University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Hour three of the Todd Starnes Radio Show is upon us. Great to have you with us, folks. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Have you heard about what this loser over at the Food Network has done? A guy by the name of John Henson. He's also a failed comedian, but he hosts the Halloween Baking Championship. And he was on Twitter on Sunday, which was Father's Day, and I hope all of you dads out there were lavished with wonderful gifts and steak and perhaps a nice cold libation. Anyway, John Henson from the Food Network was on Twitter, and he decided he was going to take a cheap shot at Barron Trump, the president's teenage son. He says, "I hope Barron gets to spend today with whoever his dad is." What a despicable thing to write. What a loser. And it's not the first time that the mainstream media, it's not the first time that Hollywood has gone after little Barron Trump. And we've listed a lot of the stories over at ToddStearns.com. Not going to get into it on the radio show. But I want to go right now to the Liberty University newsmaker line. And I know these ladies are fierce defenders of not just the president, but also the president's family. Our good friends Diamond and Silk. Hello, ladies. How's it going?
Oh, everything's going well. Going great. I hope everything's going well with you.
Well, it is. And, you know, before we get you to weigh in on this story with poor Barron Trump and the Food Network moron, I mean, you were front and center. You guys were the stars of the big rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That must have been good to get back out in front of the crowds.
Oh, my God, it was so good. Listen, I did not realize how popular me and Silk were. We were very, very, very popular there. I mean, I'm just like just taken aback.
It was amazing. It was like a family reunion.
Yes.
People wanted to feel that sense of togetherness.
Right.
It was amazing, Todd.
We were on the outside stage. We went to a party. We had to speak there, and then we were on the main stage. So it was a phenomenal day.
Phenomenal.
A phenomenal evening. And the president did a phenomenal job, and we have to keep these rallies. We have to keep this going. We have to keep this before the American people.
That's right.
You know, I thought the president hit a home run again. His speeches are always on point.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that really resonated with me, the president defending the American flag and defending American culture when, ladies, you know, American culture is under attack right now.
It is under attack. But here's what I don't understand. When you see I get it from the liberal media. But when I see the conservative media going along with what the liberal media is going on,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden now you feel appalled because the statues are being taken down, well, that's what you get for dancing with the devil.
That's right.
You don't dance with the devil and think he's not going to come into your house and want to throw a party.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you going to say? So now a lot of them, not you, but a lot of them are looking crazy with egg on your face.
That's right.
You went along with their ideology,
mm-hmm.
reporting what they wanted you to report. Now you're looking crazy because now it's affecting you. Now it may be knocking at your door.
That's
so
right.
What are you going to do? I think it's sad when people want to take and erase history. You want to whitewash it. Don't do that. Leave history here. Leave history alone.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know history, it's going to repeat itself. If you destroy it, it will repeat itself. And we can never let the Democrat Party live down, that they are the two-party of KKK, the party of racism, the party of Jim Crow. They talk about systematic racism. It started all with the Democrat Party.
That's right. And what they're going to do whenever they come for Martin Luther King statues and monuments and street signs and highway names, what are they going to do when that happens?
That's right.
It's a fair question. And ladies,
mm-hmm.
you know, my book came out in October, and we will not name the establishment we both all worked for. But they did not want to promote that book because they didn't believe we were really going to get to a point where people were going to be taking down statues and monuments. Now who has egg on their face?
But see, you have to look at who's running things.
That's right.
Look at who's running things. A lot of these left-leaning liberals with this ideology to destroy America, to turn America into a socialist country, a communist
mm-hmm.
country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be cautious on who you're pumping your fist for and what they believe in.
That's right.
So you have to understand that. Thank you for writing the book. Now, look, it's all true. Just like we talked about the number for COVID-19 being inflated and about how our elderly were dying and how everyone tried to make it look like we was putting out misinformation and it turned out to be true.
That's
our
right.
elderly would not have been dying in droves had the governor of New York wouldn't have put COVID-19 patients in there with our elderly.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? The numbers were being inflated and probably still are being inflated if you're not reporting right that you die with it or of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difference.
That's right. And you just got to really be cautious because you have a lot of our things that's infiltrated with anarchists, with people that have this liberal ideology.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking over a lot of things that is conservative. So when you go to look at it, you think, am I looking at a left wing? Because they're conforming to it.
Right. So a lot of stuff I don't even turn on the television no more. It's too left-leaning for me.
That's right.
You know what it is, Diamond and Silk? I think there are conservatives out there who are just terrified. You know, they see the mob. And I mean, I just think people are like you and me. I just don't care. They can say whatever they want to, but I'm not changing my viewpoint. But a lot of people get terrified of this cancel culture mob.
The mob. But you can't. You have to stand up to this. Listen, let me tell you something. I will take up for black lives, white lives, all lives. But what I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it in the name of Black Lives Matter, who is, now they've come out that they are Marxists. Those are types of people want to turn the country into communist, a communist country. I'm not going along for that. I'm not pumping my fist with that. All of our lives matter, and we need to learn how to respect each other heritage, each other culture.
Yeah.
No, we don't need to be bowing down to each other. We need to stand up for the flag,
yeah.
kneel for God. Those are things that we need to do. We need to get back to basics. For some, we've lost our way. Some people have lost their way, and you beating up on a statue that can't even feed you, clothe you, or give you a job.
And we need to have respect. Respect need to come back into place here for people history. How is removing the face of a black woman off of a syrup bottle going to stop racism?
That's right.
How is that going to happen? It won't. You got to remember that the Democrat is the party of slavery, KKK, Jim Crow, and systemic racism.
Mm-hmm.
So why, instead of removing history, let's dismantle the party by voting all of their ASSESs out.
That's right.
Oh, I like that. And I love Aunt Jemima. I love Aunt Jemima. And I love Eskimo pies. And now you can't have an Eskimo pie. You can't have Mrs. Butterworth, who's not even a black woman. She's a well-rounded white woman. But now that's body shaming. So they're getting rid of the bottle.
I think they're going to take Uncle Ben. Who they going to put up there besides you going to take Uncle Ben? What you going to put Uncle Luke?
Leave Uncle Ben alone and leave Aunt Jemima alone.
Leave our stuff alone. This is so silly. But see, this is what happened. When all of the media outlets hump on the same story, you go along with the same narrative. Now some of them are feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Some of those journalists are feeling uncomfortable with reporting some of this stuff. Well, that's what you get. You're complicit.
That's right.
All of this was done to hurt President Trump. This is all well-organized, well-thought-out. Everything to try to hurt him and to keep him from winning another election.
You know, ladies, I love the Comedy Central stuff. I'm a big fan of that. You know, Chris Rock, I probably guess that he and I differ on just about everything politically. But a couple of months ago, he had that comedy special really calling out the cancel culture crowd and came under fierce attack. But, you know, this is not something that's new. The comedians have been warning America for a good couple of years now that this is what was happening. And we're about to enter a period of American history where you're not able to laugh at yourself. You're not able to have a good time. You're not everybody's terrified of saying anything lest they be, you know, lest they trigger the cancel culture mob.
Well, that's the way it is, but that's the way the left set it up. They set it up like that.
That's
they
right.
They started the Me Too movement, Time Up movement, and the movement started happening within their range of folks. You see what I'm saying? They set all of this up like this, and now it's blowing up in everyone's faces.
You got to remember, if you give them an inch, they will take a mile, a police precinct, several city blocks, more statues and monuments.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they will take it and continue to take it, and then they'll come to your house knocking at your door to take your stuff.
Yeah.
So we got to stop it at the gate, baby.
Ladies, a couple, it was last week, I was out at the, we have a very large park here in Memphis where we broadcast our show, called Shelby Farms. And I'm just walking around the park. There must have been hundreds of people there. And you know what I saw? I saw people that were black, white, Baptist, Muslims, all sorts of folks. Everybody having a good time, everybody getting along. And again, this goes against the narrative. I think by and large, Americans are united, but there are people in the media and people in Hollywood that want to divide all of us, and that is offensive.
It's not just people in the media, people in Hollywood, but it's sad when you also see people that's supposed to be on the right following the same narrative.
That's right.
It's so disgusting. It makes them complicit to everything. And I'm going to tell you this, Todd. Once this is over with and it's said and done, the American people will never believe anything these journalists or these news organizations have to say, because we're going to all deem them as liars.
That's right. So watch all of the wolves in sheep clothing.
Mm-hmm.
On a side note, ladies, one of the benefits of living back in the South, went to the farmer's market over the weekend. Dinner Saturday night. I know you, I know a lot of people are the Ruth's Chris crowd, but me, I had a fresh tomato sandwich on white bread.
Oh my God, I bet you it was good.
A little Duke's mayonnaise.
On that too.
A little salt, little pepper, a little Vidalia onion.
Mm. Oh my God, and I love fried green tomatoes.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to speak in tongues.
With shrimp on the side.
Mm.
Oh.
We need to get the president down south so we can feed him.
You know,
he needs All right, Diamond and Silk, I know y'all have a book coming out, so tell us where folks can go to get info on the big book.
Okay, listen, it's coming out August 2020. You can get the book, pre-order it at diamondandsilkbook.com. And we're also co-executives on a movie that's coming out in July
it's
the 17th.
My Brother's Crossing.
That's going to be in theaters all over the country on July the 17th, so look that up, you all. It's an inspirational story. I mean, and it's going to bring us together, black and white, hand in hand together, and that's what I love about
it. And one more thing, Todd. If you want to stay connected to Diamond and Silk, be sure to go over there to chat at chatdit.com. That's Diamond and Silk new social media platform, so that you can stay connected over there. We do not censor your voices over there. You can say whatever you want, but you can also block whoever you don't like.
That's right.
Oh, I like that. All right. That's good to know. All right. Well, ladies, it looks like y'all are busy as ever.
Very.
All right. Diamond and Silk, great American patriots, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies, have a great one.
Thank you for having us.
All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. We will open up the phone lines. Jenna Ellis coming up in just a few moments talking about John Bolton, and we have some breaking news to share with you about Mr. Bolton and Sarah Sanders. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Bill Main, Avery, turn your microphones on. I have a question.
Yes, sir. Ask away.
Of course, you know, the 4th of July, Independence Day, just right around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of cities, they're canceling their July 4th celebrations, unless you want to call it a protest. And so, so you can't have a 4th of July parade, but you could have a 4th of July protest, I suppose.
Bring fireworks.
Shoot them horizontally. Isn't that the new thing now?
Oh boy, that's not a good thought at all.
What do you think the most patriotic state in America is, guys? Most patriotic state in America.
The most patriotic state in America. I'd like to say my state of Georgia, but I don't.
It's not California or New York.
Well, I know it's not California. I'm going to say that it's. It's going to sound odd. But I'm going to say somewhere like maybe Pennsylvania.
Okay, Pennsylvania.
I mean, they do have Philadelphia. They have Independence Hall there.
Mm-hmm. That is the Liberty Bell.
Yes, uh-huh.
And they have the cheesesteaks, too. They're very good.
Yeah.
Yes. Pat or Gino's, it doesn't matter. They're both very good.
Mm-hmm.
Avery, what say you?
I think I'm going to say Virginia.
Yeah, no, wrong. It's New Hampshire.
What?
New Hampshire. New Hampshire. I literally had that on the tip of my tongue, which is, doesn't mean anything because I didn't say it. But I thought, but seemed Philadelphia just seemed to be, Pennsylvania seemed to be it for me.
WalletHub.com has come out with their list of the most patriotic states.
How do they determine it?
They have a lot of variables in there, and I'm not sure that any of these, I mean, it's all subjective, of course.
Sure.
But they talk about love of the military, buying U.S.-made goods, and so they factor all these things in,
okay,
and they're able to come up with their list. The least patriotic state, I will say this, I question this because I'll just give you the top 10 here. New Hampshire, Wyoming, Idaho, Alaska, Maryland, Utah, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and rounding out the top 10 is South Carolina.
Okay. Who's at the bottom?
I would have expected more Midwestern states and more Southern states in this list.
You would think maybe Texas, somewhere like that.
So Texas is near the bottom.
Oh, wow.
So the bottom five. Well, actually, I'll do the bottom 10.
Okay.
Rhode Island, Illinois, Michigan, Connecticut, New Mexico, Florida. I'm surprised by Florida.
Oh, okay.
West Virginia. I'm really surprised by West Virginia.
Yeah, that's
Mountain Mama.
Surprising.
Mm-hmm. Country roads.
Take me home.
Not to West Virginia.
Yep, yeah, apparently.
Texas is on the list. Texas.
Oh, I bet JP's upset about that.
California, yes, our Booker, yes, no doubt. California, New York, and the least patriotic state of all, New Jersey.
Huh. Wow.
I understand New York and California, like I had said a few seconds ago, but
I think the thing with Texas is a republic, and so they're pretty independent of everybody.
Yeah, they pretty much look down on all of us.
Yeah. So that's what
I mean,
I'm
no
thinking.
Offense. I mean, it's just, you're Texas. Just, that's what, everything's bigger.
And you don't mess with Texas.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say. All right. Well, your thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. Most patriotic state in America, New Hampshire. Least patriotic, New Jersey. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Little Rock, Arkansas. Dale listening to us on KARN. Wants to talk about these statues they're tearing down. Hey, Dale, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I really enjoy listening to you. My son is a deputy sheriff in another state, and he is so depressed over what's happening with the police department, and he's so ready to just throw in the towel and quit, and he said so many of his other officers are. So you're right on when you're talking about that. And I just wanted to shout out to all the police officers and the first responders. We, the majority of America, I believe we really support what's going on, and we hate what the media is doing. But I wanted to make a point about the tearing down of the statues and ask you a question. You know, if it's so wrong to have a statue of a Confederate soldier or even Teddy Roosevelt, why is it okay then for these people who go to those schools and gain degrees and get diplomas from those schools, why is it okay for them to hang on to their degrees? If we're going to tear down the statues, why can't we nullify their diplomas and their degrees? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, that is a fair question, Dale, and we all know the reason why. It's about hypocrisy. I mean, if you in fact have a degree from Yale University, I mean, the only logical thing for you to do is renounce your degree, burn that degree, and publicly confess your sins, quit your job, and allow a person of color to replace yourself on the job site. That's the only logical thing to do. So, Dale, hey, appreciate the telephone call. And, Dale, I want you to know something. Tell your son, on this radio program, we believe blue lives matter, period. 844-747-8868, our telephone number. Jenna Ellis from the Trump campaign coming up next. Joking around a little bit earlier in the program, suggesting that Hollywood might call for the removal of Night at the Museum because it depicts the statue of President Teddy Roosevelt, now deemed racist, outside of the Museum of Natural History in New York City. And we just had a little chuckle about that. Ha-ha. A little guffaw, if you will. Well, this item from the Daily Wire, apparently, one Hollywood actor is actually suggesting that the statue of Theodore Roosevelt be replaced with one honoring Robin Williams, who played Theodore Roosevelt. Also, someone else is suggesting online, I don't know who this person is, but they're suggesting that maybe they should digitally remove the image of the statue from Night at the Museum. Now, Carl Schreiner Avery, you are also our resident cinemaphile. Is that what they call you guys?
Film expert, I prefer.
Film expert, thespian? No,
you're not a thespian. No,
you're not. Not that there's anything wrong with thespians. We love thespians on the Todd Starnes radio show. Grace Baker, who, by the way, writes for us. She's grimacing again on the other side of the glass window pane here. But we're a tolerant and diverse show, so we love thespians.
Oh, yes.
Of all shapes, sizes, and persuasions. That being said, I was very surprised here, Avery, because apparently there have been three Night at the Museum movies.
Yes, there have been three. It was Night at the Museum, and then Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian, and then Night at the Museum 3. I can't remember what it's called.
I must have missed one. I only thought there was one, so I didn't realize there were sequels.
Yes, there are. There are three. The first one's the best, but, you know, the second one's not bad. The third one didn't have to happen, but we're not going to talk about that.
Well, it's kind of like Anchorman, you know?
Yeah.
After the first one, you know, just let it be.
Yeah.
So anyway, my question is, can you really digitally remove Theodore Roosevelt, Robin Williams' character from the that's sort of like a crucial part of the whole movie.
You 100% can, but then again, like in the first movie, Theodore Roosevelt's character, or Robin Williams' character, Theodore Roosevelt, is very important to the overall story. But so, like, digitally removing him, it can be done, but the whole movie's not going to make sense anymore. It's just going to be really confusing.
Yeah, wasn't Sacagawea, wasn't she in there? Didn't she have, like, a big role to play?
Yeah, and actually, Sacagawea is Theodore Roosevelt's love interest for that movie.
Well, that's problematic on a number of levels, I have to imagine, for the cancel culture crowd.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I guess they're saying that Native Americans can't be happy, so boom, checkmate.
Who knows? All right. Thank you, Avery, call screener Avery, our resident film expert, as we're calling him. That's film expert, call screener Avery. All right. 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. Hey, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a good friend of this program from the Trump campaign, also from the Falkirk Center at Liberty University, Miss Jenna Ellis. Attorney Ellis, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Todd. It's always great to join you.
Hey, real quick, were you a fan of the Night at the Museum?
You know, I actually never saw it. I don't have time to watch movies. The latest thing, the only thing that I've watched lately is the Great British Baking Show, which makes me sound like, you know, I'm probably 80, but that's the only thing I've ever watched lately.
No. We don't judge here. And we love the, you know, that's actually a pretty entertaining show. I like the British version more so than the American version of that show.
Total. Me too, because they're so nice to each other, and it's like completely the opposite of politics right now. So I think that's why I enjoy it so much. Everybody's just kind and congenial, and they all get along.
You know, this is a very good point you raise about the British, because, you know, you have a souffle and your souffle has fallen, and they'll say it in such a nice way that you think you've just made the best thing since sliced bread.
That's so true. Although there was the Hell's Kitchen guy who did not make things sound good. I didn't really watch that show either, but I have seen
Gordon
clips.
Gordon Ramsay. That's the guy.
Yes.
Hey, look, Jenna Ellis, you have a great column up on ToddStarnes.com weighing in on this controversy surrounding John Bolton, the new book coming out, I believe, tomorrow. And you have some thoughts on this about why John Bolton did what he did.
Yeah. So, you know, I did, unfortunately, watch John Bolton's entire interview. I could have watched Night at the Museum. It would have been far more entertaining. But I had to watch John Bolton's interview last night. And, you know, he's trying to sell his book. And so I watched it, though, from the lens of an attorney, because when you're talking about evidentiary proof, when someone makes a claim, we don't, as Americans watching TV, which is really just entertainment anymore, we don't really critically think, okay, this person is putting forth a claim. Is he supporting it? What's his credibility? Why is he doing, what's the motive? You know, all of these things that are so important to a legal case. So I kind of put my my attorney hat on, and three things stuck out to me really quickly. The first was burden shifting. And so the interviewer just flatly presumed that everything that Bolton said, she just took as fact. And even though he had no support whatsoever, other than his anecdotal kind of commentary, he tried to shift the burden to say, here's my claim, but President Trump, you need to disprove that. I'm going to put you on the defensive. That's the exact same thing that they did in the whole impeachment hoax, was try to say, here's the claim. Now you have to defend yourself, when the claimant in court is the one that carries the burden of proof and that presumption that they have to fulfill that. And so Bolton did a terrible job with that. And then, of course, his credibility was the second thing. He has shrugged off his non-disclosure agreement. He has pretended that the law doesn't apply. Judge Royce Lamberth, actually, even though he said, you know, the horse is out of the barn, the book has to move forward, there's irreparable harm already, and an injunction isn't going to stop that, he made a really damning credibility assessment here by saying that Defendant Bolton has gambled with the national security of the United States. He's exposed his country to harm and himself to civil and potentially criminal liability. And he went on to say that Bolton was wrong. I mean, if you are evaluating a person in court and their testimony, and you have the judge saying that they are willing to put their profit over national security when they were in a top security position in several administrations in the United States, that is really terribly damaging to their credibility and their overall claim. And then, Todd, finally, the third was just fact versus perception. I know so much was just, you know, his perception. And we know that the whole reason that he was fired is because he had foreign policy differences with President Trump. He had opinions. He kind of forgot that he's not the elected official and that he can't just run things. And so many things were just, I think, or I am speculating. And his perception of the Trump White House was shaped based on his disagreements with the president. And that ultimately doesn't mean anything. So in my view, this was far less of some kind of bombshell than what the mainstream media would like to pretend it is, because they're anti-Trump activists. So again, you know, I really appreciate you putting up this column at toddstearns.com, and that was my attorney analysis of his interview last night.
So Sarah Sanders giving us a tease of her new book coming out, Speaking for Myself. And she actually writes about John Bolton in the book, describes him as a man drunk on power, who ultimately betrayed America when he didn't get his way. And I'm wondering, what have you heard these kinds of things? Because, you know, again, working at Fox News for 15 years, you know, I ran into him quite a bit. It seems like this is a very different John Bolton than the one I knew at Fox News.
Well, you know, I think that that's because he is establishment Republican, and, you know, he was known as sort of this hawkish foreign policy type of person who wanted to engage America in unnecessary war. And so he probably didn't clash with the establishment Republicans previously. And so it didn't show his arrogance as much when he was in an administration that he agreed with. I mean, look at, you know, what George W. Bush and some of the foreign policy decisions that we as conservatives all disagree with and think were probably the worst mistakes of his presidency, other than putting John Roberts on the bench. I think that was definitely the worst decision of his presidency. But, you know, but again, this is just the arrogance of the swamp elite. And so when Sarah Sanders, unlike Bolton, when she's making this characterization, she has a judge's opinion recently rendered. She has facts and evidentiary support for that claim, because we know what decision-making Bolton was aiming for. We know about his character. We know about those disagreements. And so for her to say that he was really arrogant and make those types of characterization and character assessments, I think she has ample support for that.
Well, it really does expose who John Bolton really, really is in his heart of hearts. Because let's just for the sake of the argument, let's just say everything he said was true. Well, if that was the case, then we are dealing with a president who needed to be outed to the American public, crimes may or may not have been committed, but he should have turned all of that information directly over to investigators. But instead of doing that, John Bolton, who truly felt like, you know, President Trump was a traitor, turns around and does not do that. Instead, he holds all of it for this book so that he can make a lot of money. And at the end of the day, he put money ahead of the country, and that is appalling in my estimation.
And again, that credibility issue tells you all you need to know about John Bolton. And, you know, Todd, it's amazing to me, you know, someone who works directly with the president on a number of issues and in a legal capacity. It shocks me how many people around him actually treat him like he is different than every other president in modern American history, just because he comes from outside of the swamp establishment. And so that's what he means by drain the swamp, is because there are people like John Bolton who have an expectation that you, Mr. President, are going to do things the way that they've always been done, and you're going to do things according to my view and my expectation, instead of recognizing we, the people of the United States, elected Donald Trump, and he, according to Article 2 of the Constitution, is vested with all executive power, not John Bolton, not the swamp.
Well, and again, we just, you know, my hat is off to this president. He is, the problem is, Jenna, there are so many creatures in that deep state swamp that a lot of them ended up in the administration. And he's got members of his own administration fighting against him. I just don't know how he's able to do it every single day, but he's still got a lot of fight in him. I believe the spirit is high in this president, and we just have to keep rooting these people out. Shame on John Bolton.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that when we reelect him for another 4 years, then, you know, he now has a wider picture of what the swamp looks like. And moving forward into the next 4 years, he's going to continue to make these really good personnel decisions, like firing John Bolton and replacing him with someone who actually has the best interests of the United States and the Trump administration in mind.
Yeah, well said. All right, Jenna, got to leave it there. Great column. Jenna Ellis, you can read her column at toddstarns.com. Jenna, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, this Sarah Sanders book is going to be pretty explosive. She tells a story, and Jenna alluded to this, that Bolton was so full of himself that he felt like he was too important to travel with the rest of the White House delegation. And Sarah says that that they were having some sort of an event at the U.S. ambassador's residence, and that Bolton did not want to be a part of the motorcade. He wanted to arrive separately. She says he always had his own agenda. And finally, at one point, Mick Mulvaney, who was then the White House chief of staff, actually confronted Bolton in front of everybody and said, "Let's face it, John, you're a blanking, self-righteous, self-centered son of a blank." Sarah says he lit into him in a way I hadn't seen him do to anyone else before. And she said the epithet did not have much to do with the motorcade, but was the culmination of months of Bolton thinking he was more important and could play by a different set of rules than the rest of the team. The rest of us looked on and nodded in approval, proud of Mick for standing up for us. Mick even got a few high fives from officials, thrilled that someone had finally put Bolton in his place. Clearly a bad dude, a swamp critter. John Bolton, who would have thought? All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll free number 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Oh boy, Corey Lewandowski is taking a swipe at the Trump campaign. And again, I think this is important, folks. Not the president, but the campaign. And we were pretty clear about this early on in the show. Look, I think Trump hit a home run on Saturday. I thought his campaign, not so much. Now, Lewandowski, who was very instrumental in winning that election for the president in 2016. He says, "We won 38 primaries and caucuses under my stewardship, all due to Donald Trump, but we never did something like this." And what that means is we have to go back and reevaluate the system in which people were getting those tickets and determining if they were real, if they were robots, putting additional protocols in place so this does not happen again. Corey Lewandowski, doing an interview with the New Hampshire radio station, says that the fundamental mistake made was overpromising and underdelivering. It's the biggest mistake you can make in politics. This is coming from Corey Lewandowski, who was President Trump's first campaign manager from 2015 until June of 2016. And he also happens to be a very close outside political counsel to the president. In other words, he has the president's ear. So clearly a message is being sent by what Lewandowski just said. So we'll see how all this plays out. And we're going to be following this. Folks, it's just vitally important for our nation that the president is reelected. I cannot stress that enough. This president has to be reelected. And we've got to do whatever we can to make that happen. We're going to try to have the owner of this store on the show tomorrow. There is a, her name is Kelly Canda. She is the owner of Colossal Cupcakes in Cleveland, Ohio. Her store was one of the stores looted last month, and it was destroyed. These looters, these Antifa thugs, destroyed this woman's store. And now she is facing threats because she went to the police, and she's been cooperating with law enforcement so they can find out who destroyed her business so they could be punished. She says that her store was ransacked while she and her four employees were locked hiding in a bathroom. This happened on May 30th. She says, this is all I've got. You know, this is a family-owned business. And the whole time they were locked in the closet, they could just hear things getting shattered and crushed. And now she's getting death threats because she went to the police. And this is pretty pathetic. But folks, this is what we're dealing with in America right now. Mob rule. And that's why it's so vitally important that Donald Trump is reelected president, so that we can put law and order first again. So we're going to try to get this lady on the radio show tomorrow. She's trying to get her business reopened, and I'm sure there are many other people just like her. And we're going to do whatever part we can to help these small business owners get back on their feet, and they can get back to work. By the way, the coronavirus, I don't know what it's like in your neighborhood. Now they're telling us, 300 cases in one day in Memphis, Tennessee. The Memphis Grizzlies, the NBA team, they got the mascot wearing a mask. The freaking mascot is wearing a mask. It's, folks, it's just unbelievable. And we have a lawmaker who wants to take us back to phase one. They want to shut down all the businesses. These people are slap crazy nuts. Anyway, we'll talk about that tomorrow as well. Hey, ToddStarnes.com. Subscribe to our free newsletter. Get the free podcast. Great downloads available right now. ToddStarnes.com. Folks, get out there. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.